Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast.
Hello, guys. We are ending eating disorders using nothing but our brains, and just so excited to have you guys on today. This is such an important question that people ask, and we're just going to dive right into the topic of how do I know if it will work? There are so many things out there, and we can be an absolute information overload. So if we are ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain, and you're here because you have some relationship with food that just is not serving you, is not bringing you happiness, is not something that you want for the rest of your life, then if you Google search that, you can spend the rest of your life seeing all sorts of different solutions, right? I'm putting that in quotes. Like, oh, okay, well, you need to change your eating. You need to do this. So, well, it's not about the food. It's about something else. So, well, you need to exercise, right? Or, well, you need to, you know, cut out this, or you need to feel this way, or you need to have this person out of your life. I mean, we literally have coached women who have been spending up to 4 hours a day on podcasts, books, videos, diets, blogs, websites, all just gathering so much information about all these different things that, of course, are going to help you to be done with an eating disorder and fix your relationship with food. But you've only got so much life. Like, you do not get your days back. So asking this question of, well, how do I know if it will work, is really important, because you can try thing after thing after thing, and everything that doesn't work wastes time and life and makes it worse a lot of times. And then you're just still continuing on the cycle. You're still continuing to gain weight or hurt your health, or, you know, continue to make this groove in your brain of eating disorders worse and worse. So we're going to talk about this question of how do I know if it will work, and then how to answer that. And it's a super valid question, right? It's, you want to know, will it work for me? And we want to know this. And a lot of times there's this fear, right? This fear comes up all the time before we try something, especially when we're doing something to try to really fix our relationship with food that is maybe a little bit more of a stretch or a leap or something different than we've done before. You know, we a lot of times have this feeling of like, I can't take one more failure. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to hear from women, and, you know, like myself included, I tried for a long time. But a common journey is, I've been trying things for 25 years, 35 years, and it's this feeling of, I can't take any more failures. So it's like everything that you try, you really want to know if it's going to work, because failing again feels horrible. It feels absolutely horrible. And one of the biggest fears is, well, what if this thing works for everyone else and I'm the one person that it doesn't work for? And then I'm really doomed. Then I really know it's me. Then I really know that I'm broken. And really, that is a very, very common fear, and I totally get it. But here's the thing. You're asking the wrong question. There's a question that you have to ask before, how do I know if it will work? Or it doesn't matter anything that you do. Instead of asking, will it work for me, you should first be asking, will what work? What are you expecting from that thing that you hope will work? Because a lot of times we think, okay, is this going to work for me? Is this going to work for me? What is the thing on the other side? What is the prize? What is the result? What is the outcome? And a lot of times we just dive into, okay, well, maybe this is going to work, without really thinking of what the outcome is of the thing that you're going to try to fix your relationship with food. And do you want that thing? What are you expecting is going to happen if you do this? And do you even want that? Because that is so frustrating, to climb 1,000 rungs up a ladder and realize it's up against the wrong wall. So you've got to ask yourself on the front end, do you even want the thing that is the outcome? And if that thing does work that you try, what does that actually look like? Like, what is life when you have that thing? Will I get, when you get the prize, what is the prize and do you even want it? That's really important. So stick with me here because we're gonna go through a couple of really fundamental things that are actually going to help your whole life, but is especially going to help you with the question that you should be asking of, okay, what is the outcome? And then you can ask the question of, okay, how do I know if it will work? And then if it works, then you have the outcome and you have what you want. But if you just keep trying things without really thinking of what the outcome is, then that's not going to get you anywhere. And that's how women go for 35 years just trying stuff and realizing like, oh, wait, that's not actually what I wanted all along. So stick with me because we're going to go in one place so you really understand the fundamental principles of what I'm talking about here so that you can be able to do something that actually works and know if it works. And then we're going to come back to really answer that question, but you got to understand this first. So first we're going to dive into underlying assumptions. What are underlying assumptions? If you don't know, we're going to talk about it right now. It's the thing that you have to assume if you're saying that or doing that or believing that. So for instance, if you say, oh no, they hit me, and the other person says, what did you do? When they say, what did you do? What must the underlying assumption be? Well, it's gotta be that they're assuming that you contributed to somebody hitting you, that it's somehow, at least in part, your fault that somebody hit you. Or why would they have asked, what did you do? It's like, oh man, they hit me. And they're like, well, what was the weather like? The underlying assumption has to be that they thought that the weather had something to do with why that person hit you. For instance, if somebody says, should you be eating that? Ooh, let's just let that sink in for a minute. Should you be eating that? What is the underlying assumption there? What does that person have to believe or assume? Or they would never have said that in the first place. Well, should you be eating that is the assumption that one, people should or shouldn't be eating certain things, and that some people are more allowed to eat things than other people. Should you be eating that? It is an assumption that there's something individually about you where you shouldn't be eating that. Okay, so the underlying assumption, again, are the things that you have to assume are true, or the things that you have to believe, or you wouldn't have said that in the first place. You wouldn't have thought that in the first place. So when we go to the question of, okay, like, how do I know if it will work? Thinking of the outcome, what are the underlying assumptions of that solution? And you've got to look at those, because if you reject those, if you don't have the same underlying assumptions as the method that you're trying to get free from your eating disorder, then you're never going to have what you want, and you're never going to have freedom if you guys have a different definition of freedom. So just, you know, to share a little bit of my story, I mean, when I developed an eating disorder, it actually made me really mad. And I was so, so frustrated because I didn't want to accept that I was broken forever. And everything that I was reading, I was doing all of this research and trying to figure it out and trying to, you know, fix this for myself. And everything was like, well, this is just the way that you are. Like, you're a person with an eating disorder. Like, that's just how you are. And the sooner you can accept it, the better. And that's just the way that it's going to be. And I did not share that underlying assumption. I rejected that. That didn't feel right to me. Yeah, I was still binge eating all the time. Yeah, I was still bulimic. But I still didn't want to believe that this is the way that it had to be for the rest of my life. In fact, that's the reason that I kept looking for a solution and kept really studying and kept really finding out what worked for freedom, like being done. Because I rejected the assumption that I had to be broken for the rest of my life. There had to be a better way. It made me really mad that I just caught this food addiction and I was broken. Because I just accidentally got broken. I mean, if I were a heroin addict, I could have pointed it back to, well, maybe I shouldn't have done heroin all those times, and now I'm an addict. But I had been eating every day my whole life, and I didn't know what I had done to suddenly be a food addict. and it made me really upset that I accidentally got an eating disorder, and now I just had to accept that I was broken for the rest of my life. It just wasn't okay. So I want to tell you guys such a cool, cool example of this, of rejecting underlying assumptions, right? To be able to find something better, find something what you want. So there was an incredible client who graduated from our program. I mean, it's been a long time now, but she had 17 years of bulimia. It was, you know, severe, and she had done all sorts of things. And, you know, she's just a really cool, powerful, fun woman that's just for 17 years had bulimia. I mean, we started working with her, and in about the 6-week mark, she's completely free. She's done with her bulimia. She's living her life. She has no issues with food anymore. It's awesome. But she told me a really cool experience that I want to share with you guys. So she was at this center for eating disorders, and she was sitting there, her being, you know, a powerful, smart, intelligent woman, and these other women around her, you know, just incredibly, you know, insightful women, women with amazing careers, women who had, you know, raised families and done so much, women who had overcome so many trials. And they were sitting there in this center, and they were being told, like, you are always going to have an eating disorder. You're going to go into this center, and we're going to observe everything that you do. But just know, this is the way that you are. You are going to be back. You're going to come back to this center for the rest of your life. Every time that you have a relapse, which you will, you're going to be back here again. And this is just what you need to accept. There is something different about you. There is something different about the way that you are, about your past. You know, this is just the way that it is. And this woman, this like spitfire client of ours, like, you know, she was telling me the story of way back when she was trying to figure out solutions. She got up, like she stood up in that room, and she said, no, that cannot be true. Look at us. We are incredibly intelligent women. We know what we're doing. We've overcome so much. How dare you tell us that we have to be this way, that we're just broken, that this is just the way that it is, and we should just give up for the rest of our lives. And she was like talking to the other women. She's like, don't believe this. Don't believe that you're just going to be back here for the rest of your life. Don't give in to someone else telling you that you're broken. And she like stormed out of there. Like she rejected those underlying assumptions. If somebody says this is the way that it is and you're just going to come back here for the rest of your life because you can just expect to keep relapsing over and over and over, look at those underlying assumptions. They have to assume that this never gets better. They have to assume that no matter what you do, you will always, always, always be living with this for the rest of your life, and it's just going to keep getting worse. And for her, she rejected that. Did she have an answer yet? No, she didn't. But she rejected the underlying assumptions because living in a world for her, trying a solution where the assumption was that you're never going to get better wasn't what she wanted. Now, when she found us, she was so excited because she was in alignment with that, right? It's like, oh yeah, you can get free. You can be done. Okay, great. And now she's free and she's done. But here's what I want you guys to realize is that if you have the assumption that you're never going to be free, then why would you ever find a solution where you can be free? Every person in this community, every person that talks to us has to have at least a little bit of a spark. You wouldn't be here if not. If you really felt like you could never be done with your eating disorder, if you felt like you could really, really never fix your relationship with food, and I'm not talking about discouragement, and I'm not talking about lack of hope. I realize that's all there. I wondered for years if I was going to die a binge eater and this was just going to be the rest of my life. But there was still that spark of, there has to be a better way. There has to be a way out of this. I got into it. There has to be a way out of it. Especially our clients who, you know, they started, you know, their binge eating before they can even remember, you know, when they were little girls, when they were like 4 or 5, right? And they were hiding food in their rooms. Sometimes there's this question of like, well, maybe this is just who I am. But now they're free and they're done. And they answered that question of, oh, I guess this doesn't have to be the way that I am and the way that it always is. All right. So that's the underlying assumptions, right? We need to understand what that is. It's a thing that you have to assume before you believe or do something, right? So let's look at the underlying assumptions of some different methods, and then you guys can just decide whether you agree or not. So I'm going to teach you guys now with different methods different schools of thought, how to see the underlying assumptions so you can be able to be educated and see sort of past the, okay, what is this claiming, so that you can decide if that's what you want. Because whether it works or not, right? Like, that's the question after whether, okay, what is the actual outcome that we're looking at? All right, so there's one idea out there that your eating disorder is just because of past trauma, right? And so what this sounds like is we have clients that come to us where they're like, yeah, it's like I went and I tried this, and it's like they were just trying to dig into my past, like trying to find some sort of trauma. I mean, we have women who come to us, they're like, I had a good childhood. Like, they were just like trying to dig and find something, and there wasn't anything. Like, you know, like I couldn't find anything that would cause an eating disorder. So I knew like that couldn't be it, right? But it's like the assumption there is that your eating is caused by something in your past, and that if you resolve that thing, then your eating disorder will magically go away. Okay, well, so the underlying assumption is it has to do with something in my past. If I fix that, then my eating disorder will go away. Now ask the question, has that ever worked? Does that work? Do you know anyone that's worked for? When you've resolved things in your past, right? When you've, you know, worked through all of your trauma, has it magically made your eating disorder go away? Has your relationship with food just been fixed as soon as you sort through something? Okay, then you can ask that question. But that's that underlying assumption, right? That you cannot be free from your eating disorder until you've sorted through everything in your past. All right, so let's look at diets, right? Like, let's manipulate your food, manipulate your body, eat just the right way. And then the underlying assumption is if you lose the weight first, then it will fix your food issues. You can always just lose the weight, and then your relationship with food will magically be fixed, right? As soon as we get the weight off, as soon as we get the weight off. Now we can ask the question, has that ever worked? Have you ever been able to like go on a diet, starve your body, make it thinner, and then has your relationship with food just magically gotten better? And if that works, then cool. If that's what you want, cool. If you want the assumption of, okay, well, I always just need to keep on losing the weight over and over. Yeah, like then my eating goes crazy and I yo-yo diet and I'm, you know, back up to higher than I was, but I'll just keep on losing the weight, keep on gaining it back, keep on losing the weight, keep on gaining it back. The only reason we do that is because we think that something's gonna be different this time, right? Or we're just gonna try the same thing again and hope for a different result. That's the definition of insanity, right? So you know, with the underlying assumption of dieting, it's like, okay, if I can just get thin, if I can just lose the weight, then my relationship with food will be fixed. Now, I know from my own personal experience that I could willpower out a diet for a while and I could lose weight. Your metabolism breaks eventually and you're not able to lose weight and you push your set point up. But for a while, the yo-yoing works. Works as in like you are able to lose weight temporarily. So you can push down your weight. And then what happens to your relationship with food? Just look at that. Once you reach your goal weight, or once you've been on a diet for, you know, 4 months or whatever, does your relationship with food just fix itself? Like, is it just all good? Or does it get way worse? And just look at that and just see, right? But we're looking at what is the assumption behind it? And do you agree with that? Do you agree that if you can just lose the weight and be thinner, that will magically fix your relationship with food? All right. So let's look at, you know, surgery, right? That's a lot of, you know, a lot of people look into that. The underlying assumption is if you physically can't eat, then it will fix your relationship with food. It'll fix your brain if you physically just can't eat how you used to. Just like restrict yourself, just like rearrange your insides so that they're so small that you just can't eat very much, and then your relationship with food will be fixed. Okay. Now, that's the underlying assumption. And we ask, okay, has that ever worked? I want to tell you guys a story about a woman that we talked to who, you know, we worked with her and she had tried so many things, including surgery. And she gained back 100 pounds after her surgery. And she had so, so many medical complications. I mean, it had been like $30,000 worth of extra surgeries going back and back with the medical complications. And one thing that she told us is she just said, I realized that if I don't fix my brain, nothing will work. For her, it was a rejection of the underlying assumption. It was, wait, I can't physically manipulate myself to try to fix my relationship with food. For her, she's like, I have to fix my brain. So that's another thing to look at. So something where it's like a very controlled environment, right? Where you have people around you, you know, controlling your food, watching everything that you do. You can never eat alone. You're observed all the time. What is the underlying assumption there? You can't be trusted. You can't trust yourself. You need a team of people because you're so out of control. So the other thing that we want to notice is the messages that we send ourselves, right? So if you agree with those underlying assumptions of I'm out of control, I need to be observed all the time, I need to do, you know, these really sort of, you know, controlled things, you're sending a message to your brain like that you have no control. You're sending the message that you can't do this in a way that is, you know, without an incredible amount of, you know, control and teams and whatever else it is. So also with these assumptions, look at the messages that you're sending yourself when you attempt these things. And then let's talk a little bit about, you know, like really extreme restriction, right? It's like, okay, we're gonna cut out all of the flour and we're gonna cut out all of the sugar. And not only that, it's like these things are drugs, like these things are a violation of your promises. So the underlying assumption with methods like that is that, again, you can't be trusted. You're sending that message to yourself. And then if you like, you know, don't tell another person that you had a piece of celery that you didn't plan on, you should be shamed. You should, you know, realize that you've broken promises, that you have to start all over again. And so with this, you know, we have people who come to us who reject those underlying assumptions of that, you know, food is a moral thing where if you don't report your food to someone else and if you ever, you know, let white flour touch your tongue, then that means that you're like, you know, completely just, you know, shamed and done and just like, you know, just awful person, right? Like we have people who reject these underlying assumptions and they just realize what is the outcome, like to live this way for the rest of my life. Like, do I want to report my food to another person 3 times a day for the rest of my life? Do I want to never have anything that tastes sweet or is sort of like comforting and savory for the rest of my life? If that's okay with you and it works, awesome. But you want to look at the underlying assumption of, is that what you want for the rest of your life? Let's look at one last one, you know, just like with, you know, avoiding all the triggers, right? I'm going to put triggers in quotes. The underlying assumption is that your actions are dependent on your circumstances, that you don't have any control as soon as there's a certain circumstance there. Like, oh, I'm alone, and so now I have to, right? The assumption that you have to avoid all of the circumstances that would trigger you to do something because you don't have control as soon as that thing happens. So your world gets very, very small, smaller and smaller and more controlled. So what is the outcome, right? The underlying assumption is that you have to just avoid all those circumstances. So the outcome must be, okay, well then I can just live a life. I can be okay if, right? That's a good thing to put in the front. I can be okay if I just avoid anything that would ever trigger me. So, okay, I'm not going to go to parties anymore. I'm not going to be alone anymore. I'm not going to be stressed anymore. I'm not going to be hungry anymore. I'm not going to, you know, be sad anymore. Okay, I'm not going to eat crackers anymore. Okay, I'm never going to have peanut butter in the house. And so it turns into this list of like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things to avoid. But the assumption is if I can just avoid all of those things, then I'll be okay. And if that's what you want, to just avoid all those things for the rest of your life and whatever else pops up, okay, then that's your choice. But you want to ask, okay, what do we have to believe? What is the outcome? And then has that ever worked? You can always try it, right? Try it. Avoid all the things and see if that controls your behavior and see if that's the way that you want to live. This is your life. These are your days. These are your years. You can try stuff for as long as you want. So I want to really teach you guys this skill because this isn't just like in your interactions with people and the world being like, ooh, what must that person have to believe if they said that? That is just like a really, really useful thing to be able to understand things at a deeper level. But with the ways that you're trying to fix your relationship with food, look at what is my life if that works, right? Like if I do that, what does my life look like? Does it mean that I have to be on a diet for the rest of my life? Does it mean I have to avoid triggers for the rest of my life? Does it mean that I have to keep on going back to some center, for 3 months at a time every year to, just reinforce that I'm broken? You know what I mean? Like, is that what you want? And it's up to you. And so, with the approach that we take, I want to also break down the underlying assumptions there. So notice what I say, you guys. Ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain. Let's break down underlying assumptions. So, ending eating disorders. The assumption is that you can end eating disorders, that you cannot struggle for the rest, that you can be free of struggling for the rest of your life, that you cannot be a person with an eating disorder that's controlling it right now. You can just be a person who doesn't have an eating disorder anymore. We've seen that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times of that happening where, wow, like that's just not your desire anymore. So the underlying assumption is that you can end eating disorders. I actually get a lot of heat for this. Like you guys might not see it, but I'm the one who like sees this stuff, right? Like there are people who, when I talk about this, they get mad. Like, how dare you give people hope for something that is never gonna change, is never gonna be done? How dare you tell people that they can be done with eating disorders because they should just, the sooner they can accept that this is the way it's always gonna be, the better. And I'm just like, okay. I totally see those underlying assumptions. I see that you assume that these people can never be free, and you don't have to be free. Like, if that's your assumption, you can absolutely live in that space. Like, this is your life. I respect that. But I also have to speak to the underlying assumptions that I have because of what I do. If I've seen people get free over and over and over, then I can't be like, oh yeah, people just have to have eating disorders forever. Because I don't have an eating disorder anymore, and these hundreds of people don't have eating disorders anymore, and we notice how they got there. So, that underlying assumption, I'm gonna keep saying that unless my beliefs change for some reason, and then I will update you guys. But that's that underlying assumption. So, the ending, even that one word, ending eating disorders, using nothing but your brain. What is the underlying assumption there? That you can use just your brain, that you don't need to avoid your life. That you don't need to control your food, that you don't need to just accept that you're broken forever. Like, you can just use your brain and you can change your life, as in free yourself from an eating disorder. And we've seen that so many times. So it's like, okay, we know how that's done. So, ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain. One thing is, like, we hear so often, it makes sense. Like, the other things they've tried, they wanted to be done, so they tried them, but they didn't make sense to them. It didn't make sense to them why they had to like dig up all the trauma from their past and resolve it so that they'd stop like eating peanut butter in the evening. Like they didn't see how those things were connected. Like it didn't jive with their assumptions of how they saw this, right? So if something makes sense to you, awesome, right? Compare the outcome and then just ask, is that what I want? And if that's what you want, then great. And a lot of things, another thing that we hear from women is, I feel like I should be able to. Like, I feel like I should be able to be done. I feel like I should be able to not struggle with this for the rest of my life. Okay, awesome. And that's one thing that really our clients, like, what resonates with them is like, it's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I want to be able to be done. I felt like I could be done. You're the first person that I've heard say, like, I could actually not have an eating disorder anymore. Okay, great. And now they're free. Oh, another thing that we hear is, I knew there had to be a better way. A lot of times we have people come to us that have just been searching and searching and searching, and like, none of that sounds good. It doesn't sound good to have to be the one person who doesn't eat pizza forever. It doesn't sound good to be the person who always has to, not go to the party because that's a trigger. It doesn't sound good to them to be yo-yo dieting up and down for the rest of their lives and to be obsessed with food forever. And so, when they find our approach, they're just like, oh, okay. Like, I knew there had to be a better way. And then they find it. So, if you guys are here, and if this resonates with you, if you feel a spark of like, yeah, like that freedom is what I feel like should be possible, then awesome. We can explore that. In fact, you can go to
LydiaLifestyle.com/session. That's LydiaLifestyle.com/session.
There is a calendar page where you can go there. You can just, we're super booked right now. Get on the waiting list if you need to. We're gonna help you guys. We just have a huge, huge demand. So If you find a spot that you can make work, snag it, and you can book a free session with us. And what we're going to do is we're going to help you get the foundation for freedom, which is clarity about really what the cycle with food looks like right now, and then clarity about really what you want. Essentially, like those underlying assumptions of what do you feel is possible for you, and then what are you believing right now, and the missing pieces to get you to that place where you can be absolutely free and done, if that's what you want. This is not for everyone. If you guys, you know, really do feel like, no, like there's no way that I can be done with this. Like there, this is just the way that I am, and you're getting something out of it, right? If you're just like, hey, like this is my identity and I just don't want to be done, then that's okay. And you don't need to do that. But these sessions are just for those who really want to have that feeling of like, oh, I found that better way that I was looking for. Like, oh, I do want that freedom. And so that's another thing available for you guys. And of course, our fun Facebook group, discuss more in there. And thank you guys so much for being on. Again, this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, signing off. Mwah.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. One, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. Two, what isn't working with your approach. And three, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off.